At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Earlonne, have you been missing me?
Nigel, it's only been 2 days. I do not miss you yet.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we did indeed wrap up our 8th season last week.
Woo-hoo.
And we already have a bunch of stories we're excited about to share with you next season.
Yep, and we'll be back at you in the first week of March.
But we want to leave you with something while we're away.
Yes, it's a podcast we learned about recently called Written Off.
It's made by Lemonada Media and Black Bar Mitzvah and grew out of a creative writing program in Los Angeles made up of system-impacted young people.
It's hosted by author and journalist Walter Thompson Hernandez, and each episode features a big-name artist like John Legend, Issa Rae, or Jay Ellis reading a piece of work from a young writer. Then Walter talks to the writer about their lives and creative process.
We're going to share Written Off's second episode with you. In it, writer Candace Price talks about moving from her pain and trauma into accepting and loving herself as a Black queer woman.
But before that, we hear one of Candace's pieces read by actress Kiki Palmer.
Before we begin, we want to warn you that today's episode features conversations about suicidal ideation and self-harm, which may not be appropriate for all audiences. If you or someone you love needs help, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK or 8255. You can also message the crisis text line at 741-741. Each service is free and available 24/7. This episode also includes explicit language. For a bleeped version of the show, visit our website, lemonadamedia.com.
Do you know the power that a hug can give someone? I'm rehabilitated. Trying not to catch a case, so just listen. The silence of that embrace can feel louder than anyone saying, I love you, all up in your face. We can find a different way to take up that space so your heart can beat. We think love needs to be announced through the blessing of our hips or our lips. We think the uttering of those words overpowers the touch of fingertips. Growing up, I was never protected, only rejected. There's so many kids who are feeling the same, might be blind to their worth, playing this hurtful game. We can never leave a child behind in the gutter, because you will only leave them in wonder. If there is no protection, we can end up with no direction. But we got a lot of young Black kings and queens who are our future, who are waiting to receive Black love. So you need to open up your Black arms and spread them Black wings. Just simply care for others and uplift their spirit. You can do it silently, and you ain't gotta fear it. We can give Black love by opening our arms so we don't find ourselves alone behind bars. At a young age, I ended up in a cage. Since 5th grade, I ain't even walked a stage, real talk. We sentence ourselves to isolation, leading to humiliation, all because we lack communication. But what does a world look like where we shatter these expectations and simply love one another like no other.
I'm Walter Thompson Hernandez, and this is Written Off. You just heard actress and TV personality Kiki Palmer read Silent Love by IOW alum Candace Price. Before we spoke, I saw her pop an entire pack of sweet tarts into her mouth, all at once, followed by another and another. That's the thing I noticed about Candace. She has this subtle playfulness about her, and a charm, but it's not loud. And it's not in your face. I mean, she does have a thing about the word silent. She's even got it tattooed on her arm. In fact, it's a little hard to hear when she talks. Her voice is soft enough that you kind of have to lean in to pick up her words. From her writing, you know, closeness wasn't something that was granted to Candace when she was a kid. But she's living in that space now. Also, this playfulness, it's like the two things that she never got. And she's finally allowing herself. And it's hard not to love it for her. There's tears running down your face. What's going on, Candace? What are you feeling?
I don't know, like, for one, to know who read it, it's like so fucking amazing. I mean, excuse me.
That's all right, you can cuss.
It's so amazing. And the way she read it, it was just like, it was like, I don't know, it's like, it felt like it was passionate. Like, and to be the one, like the one that wrote it, but to be the one to sit back and just listen to like that soft voice echo like off my words, like, and I'm just like, my heart, like, I'm happy, but then it's like the way she said it just, like, let me know. Like, I've been through a lot, but then at the same time, I'm still here and I survived. I overcame it, you know. And, like, it was the way she read it for me, like, the way she delivered the message. Like, yeah. was, I don't know.
What did it feel like to have someone, and especially her, read what you wrote?
Like, my heart is dancing. And, like, at the same time, even though the tears was like a little, you know, I felt the pain from that poem, but it was like, it's tears of joy. Like, whoever thought that a celebrity, especially one I love, like, to read my work. So, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Now I would love to write a book and let her read it.
Hold that same energy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me about writing this poem and writing this piece. Like, where were you? What kind of place in your life were you in? The day you wrote this, like, walk me through that.
All right, well, the day I wrote it, before I came up with that poem, I wrote several different other poems. And then, you know, it was like, I was told to not be so dark. So then it was just like, okay, well, this is how I could balance it out. You know, by, you know, saying some words like that hurted me, but don't go into detail about it, just like, you know, it's the power, like, of whatever it is that you're going through. Just open up your black arms and spread them black wings. And it's just that, I don't know, like, I feel like out of everything that I've been through in life, it's just like I'm the protector now. And I just want love, and I just want to give love, you know, like, I don't know, I'm a revolutionary, so I, like, the older I get, the more I realize how worthy I am and realize how, like, my worth, you know? So, I don't know, I was in a good place, then a sad place, but then at the same time, I replaced writing with me being suicidal. So I was about 13 years old when I found the Inspired Out Writers when I was incarcerated. And I just really wanted to get out my room for the snacks, you know? You know?
Wait, so what led you to the program was the snacks?
Yeah.
What kind of snacks?
They had, like, Snickers, chips.
Oh, that sounds good.
And, you know, like, juice and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, in juvenile hall, you really don't get that stuff. You just get a hot tray and some milk.
So you were like, hold on, let me get these Snickers, right?
Yeah, they had me in the room. I think I messed up, too, and got in trouble that week. So they, for the weekend, they had me in my room. So then I heard there was some visitors coming. And every time it's a visitor, for sure you're getting a snack. So I was in Central Juvenile Hall, and I heard that them calling for everybody. So, you know, I waited. They didn't come get me. So then I start like, bamming on my door, like, to get out the room. So I think after the third time I bammed on my door, that's when it was like, all right, come on. So then when I went in there, you know, I'm saying hi to everybody and stuff like that, just happy to get out the room. And then, you know, I tried to go grab me a snack.
Right away, you were like,
yeah, I need it. Like, oh, here go the snack shit. Then, you know, the teacher was like, no, you got to write first. I'm like, write? Like, I'm not a poet. What you mean, write? She like, well, just write whatever's on your mind. So it was like, I really don't want to write, but whatever I'm thinking, I'm just write. So then that's what I did. Whatever I was thinking, I just wrote it. And then after I read my poem, I got my snack, and I was I was cool. I was chilling, you know. But it was like when I was in my living room, and it was just that. No, I just had to switch it up, you know, because I got a lot of dark poems. And it's like, all right, what's sad but not so sad? And at the same time, would it leave a message? And the message is really basically is saying to share love, you know. There's nothing wrong with loving somebody or opening up your arms and giving them a hug, because you never know what it is that they might be going through in life. And that hug could be so powerful.
I want to go back just a little bit and, like, have you really describe that scene for me when you're banging on the door three times and you're walking outside. Like, I want to know, like, what you wearing, what kind of shoes you got on, what you see out there, like, people's faces, people's names, like, you know, just really, like, take us there.
Okay. This setting, it's four walls, it's a tile floor, it's a metal bed, and it's a thin mattress, probably about an inch or half an inch thick, and it's a plastic mattress with a pillow and a nightgown, one cover, one sheet, and me in the orange jumpsuit. It's a sink, and it's a toilet with, you know, hygiene products, which might be soap, toothpaste and deodorant, if they give us that, and me. So when they came, you know, I started bamming on the wall, and the staff came to the door and was like, "Price, why you keep bamming on this door?" I told her, "Let me out the room. I want to snap." They like, "All right, Price, let me see if the teacher let you, you know, come in." So then they talked to the teacher, and the teacher is like, "Yeah, she got enough room for me." So when I went in there, you know, I just waved to everybody. You know, I was kind of popular in juvenile hall because that was like my second home.
Okay, so you got your Snickers bar, and then you're writing. What did you write?
The first poem I wrote was the statement to Leo.
And tell me about it.
The reason I wrote that poem is because he was like one of the reasons why I hated myself. And I tried to commit suicide when I was in the third grade. That was the first attempt. And basically, the statement to Leo was a poem that I wrote. You know, basically asking, like, how can a male call himself a man when he, like, try to confiscate something that ain't even his?
Was it hard writing that poem?
Yeah, it was hard, but then I felt like it was like some type of relief. When I started writing, I found the way to heal from my childhood trauma. And I found a different coping skill on how to release my emotion besides trying to think of ways to kill myself.
So writing became like a form, like a healthy way to cope with the trauma, right?
Yeah, it became a form of medicine.
Hmm. Have you since gone back to that poem at all?
Yeah, I kind of did, yeah.
What was it like?
It was just like, when I started to heal, like the older I got, I started to heal. And I had to realize that in order for me to heal, then I have to forgive and to be forgiven for whatever it was that I did, or whatever trauma that was did to me from the people who said they loved me the most. And I try not to draw myself into my past trauma. And it's like I've been hurt so much to the point, like, I don't want to be around nothing toxic. Like, if I feel like you toxic, then I need to go the other way. I need to get you out, you know, out of my presence. And I have certain triggers, which is, like, one of them is, like, I don't like to be talked to reckless and crazy. So if you're talking to me reckless and crazily, then I have flashbacks that you sounding like my grandma. And, you know, I'd rather be at peace. Like, my peace have been destroyed so bad until it's like I beg for peace. Like, I'll do anything that I have to do to have my peace, even if it's to go isolate myself somewhere and not, you know, be around the negativity. But it's like, after sweeping so much, like, shit up under the rug, and like acting like, oh, and nothing happened or I'm good, when deep down inside I know like I still got that childhood trauma that and certain things hit trigger. So I try not to, and I don't want to go back to that little kid, like that mind frame of that little kid of having that childhood trauma of, you know, who gonna protect me or who's after me or who's gonna do this. And, you know, it's just like I gotta like an army, like I'm gotta like a little defense up, you know.
Earlonne, it's like sitting right in front of Candace hearing a really personal story.
Yeah, real talk. That's deep. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the rest of this conversation from the podcast Written Off.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
The role of writing today in your life. Are you still writing?
Yeah, I still write. I started to work on a little book. So, I'm trying to put everything together. And writing, I still love writing. Like, especially when I have emotions to get off. Like, that's another way to release my emotion, is just expressing myself through my words and writing on my paper or on the notes on my phone and talking to them and expressing the way I feel, knowing that they ain't gonna talk back, you know? So, like, I love writing. I still love writing.
Mm-hmm. There's a part in your poem here where you write about Black arms and Black wings, and eventually you write about Black love. What does that mean to you?
Like, Black love, like, basically when I say open up your Black arms, spread them Black wings, and give out Black love, is because a lot of parents, I'm gonna be honest, a lot of parents talk shit to their kids. They make them feel like shit. They talk to them like they shit. They treat them worse than they treat they man. Some of them will treat them worse than they treat they man. Let's take it there. Okay, so, like, my thing is, like, instead of me being protected, I just got beat and neglected. While she hated me, she still loved him. And, you know, I felt like, should no kid ever have to go through knowing that my mama loved that man, and it may not even be the daddy more than they love me. Or either, you know, and it's vice versa, it's men and women that'll do this. But it's like, instead, like, some women, when they find out that their kids are being touched on, instead of them protecting them, a lot of them won't believe them, or they'll say, what you doing, or get to calling them out their name. And that shit ain't cool, bro. You know, and that's like one of my biggest pet peeves, is like, don't talk to that kid reckless in front of me, because I will say something. And I'ma feel the need to protect that kid because I remember that I was once that kid. You know, I was the talk at the table while they smoked cigarettes and drank coffee, and I was the talk like an old school soap popper. So it's like, I know that feeling. I know how it feels to, like, lose your worth. I know how it feels to hate yourself, to want to kill yourself and actually mean it because you feel like the world would be better off without you. So, I don't know, in the black community, it's really not that much love given out, you know? And I feel like if they gave out more hugs or, you know, uplifted that kid instead of degrading that kid or talking crazy to that kid and calling them out their name, then that kid would be a lot better. Like, you know, you supposed to, you like when you verbally abuse a kid, you drop their self-esteem and you make them feel a way that they should not be feeling at that age.
Yeah. And if you're like, if you're thinking back and if you're imagining things, like, what does your life look like without writing today?
Fucking lost. Lost.
How so?
Because, like, writing is what saved me, you know? Like, writing became my medicine. And it gave me different ways. It gave me another coping skill, you know, to have instead of hurting myself. And, I mean, writing is always better than fucking cutting yourself, popping pills, and trying to hang yourself. So I'd rather continue to have writing. Like, I love poetry. Like, I love music and stuff like that. So it's like, without music and without writing, I'd be lost. And I'm not trying to be another statistic, really lost in the sauce. Like, especially when it's a form of therapy.
You mentioned music a couple of times. Like, what do you listen to?
I listen to, like, you know, Black Woman by Danielle, Stand Up by Cynthia. And it's like, I feel like, okay, like, you got to appreciate the fact of being a woman, but at the same time, a Black woman, especially by me being a lesbian Black woman. And it's like, when you used to, well, I used to have, like, very low self-esteem. So now it's like, by, you know, like, having certain people to, like, uplift my confidence and me first and foremost, it's like, yeah, I'm a Black woman. Like, look at my dark skin, my kinky hair, like, yeah, they hate me. Like, you know, like that song, like, everybody want to be Black, but don't nobody want to be you feel me? So it's like, it's hard out here in these streets to be a Black woman, especially like a lesbian Black woman. And, you know, I dress like a boy, so I get, like, racially profiled. And then I'll be like, I'm a girl, and they don't even care. Like, with, you know, as far as the police, but I'm loving the skin that I am in. Like, I'm loving the person that I am in, especially from coming from a dark side where I came from, which is, like, not loving myself, having self-hate, and always felt that I was, like, ugly. You know, I might not be the finest motherfucker out here, but, you know, I know I got some type of sauce.
Right. If you could describe yourself outside of writing and poetry, who is Candace?
I'm a revolutionary. First and foremost, I'm a Black woman. I'm a revolutionary. I'm a protector. I'm an advocate. I'm a voice for the unheard. Instead of being a headache to the community, I became the pain reliever to the community. You know, as far as, like, being rehabilitated, and, you know, selling drugs and different stuff to the community and to my people. And knowing, like, now it's, like, killing my people off, like, it hurts me, you know. But the younger me would have been like, oh, shit, I'm going to go ahead and get that dope sack, or I'm going to go figure out how I'm going to go make some money to go hustle. But now it's just like, I see somebody, they could be family, black, Hispanic, whatever. If I see somebody out there hungry, I'm going to feed them if I can. You know, like, I didn't came from kicking crab or boiling crab, and I love seafood, and I have food left over, and I give it to them, like, hey, you like hot food? Like, here you go. And beyond then, in my mind, I'd be like, dang, I wanted that. But, you know, I could get it next time, you know, because, or give them a couple of dollars. But because when I was out there homeless at 16, 17, I ran away at 13. So when I was out there in the streets, I know how I felt, like, being hungry and panhandling to try to get food, or trying to figure out where I'm gonna sleep at for the night. So it's like the things that I've been through in life, I feel like the work that I do, can't nobody do it better than me if they ain't never been through that shit. And I mean that as far as being a mentor, you know, to my peers. Like, give me the baddest kid so I can help change that kid. Because I was the baddest kid, or if I wasn't the baddest kid, I was the talk like I was the baddest kid. And, you know, I had, like, don't get me wrong, my life has not always been perfect. And I done had a couple of downfalls in my life. But at the same time, like, I'm at a happy place.
Thank you, Candace.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks again to Candace, who's Candace Price on Facebook, Tazzy, TAZZY P86 on Instagram, and BLK Candace on Snapchat. Moved by what you heard today? Want to do more? Follow and support Inside Out Writers Workshop at insideoutwriters.org and click on Ways to Give. To get involved personally in the work to end mass incarceration in California, check out the work of ARC, the Anti-Recidivism Coalition, at ANTIRECIDIVISM.com. Next week on Written Off, writer Jimmy Valdez.
Wow, bro, what a trip, man. It's crazy how that is really interesting to me. I've never really heard somebody else recite my stuff, you know? Wow.
Written Off is a co-production of Lemonada Media and Black Bar Mitzvah. Our producer is Claire Jones. Supervising producers are Jorge Olivares and Chrissy Pease. Executive producers are Aaron Bergman, Jay Ellis, Jessica Cordova Kramer, and Stephanie Whittles Wax. Music and sound design by Xander Singh. Mix and scoring by Matthew Simonson. Special thanks to all of our contributors and Inside Out Writers. You can learn more about them at insideoutwriters.org. If you like what you heard, help others find us by rating the show and writing a review. Follow us at Lemonada Media across all social platforms. To support Written Off and gain access to exclusive bonus material, like additional conversations with the writers and producers of this show, subscribe to Lemonada Premium, only on Apple Podcasts. And for more of my work, visit my website, WTHDZ.com. I'm Walter Thompson Hernandez. Thanks for listening.
Earlonne, I love how they are pairing kind of big name talent with up and coming artists. I mean, you can really hear in Candace's voice how important this kind of collaboration is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I appreciate them holding that space for system impacted young people.
I hope they ask us to read one of the stories.
No, Nigel, we Z-list celebrities. We gotta come up the we gotta come up the alphabet.
You're right. Well, maybe someday we can aspire.
You know, my friends quickly let me know I'm a Z-list celebrity.
Okay, you're A-list to me, my friend.
All the time.
You can find more about Written Off and a bunch of other really cool podcasts at lemonadamedia.com.
And also, you can check out our website, earhustlesq.com.
And Earlon, if listeners miss us, maybe they could think about buying our book.
Ooh.
As a way to keep close.
This is Ear Hustle, unflinching stories of everyday prison life.
Available wherever you get your books.
Support the local mom and pop stores.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you all.
Nice.
We'll get some
nice
singing
voice
in sometime, nice. Nige,
mm-hmm.
Ear Hustle listeners are the best.
They really are. You're always in touch, letting us know what you think about episodes and sharing the love.
Yep, it's really a two-way conversation, a relationship.
Indeed it is. And if you're looking for a way to deepen that relationship, consider signing up for Ear Hustle Plus.
Ear Hustle Plus, it's a new subscription service that delivers bonus Ear Hustle episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
In addition to ad-free episodes of Ear Hustle, subscribers get behind-the-scenes, off-the-cuff conversations.
We have a monthly AMA, which is Ask Me Anything episode, where you and I answer questions sent in by subscribers.
And seriously, no question is too random or wacky.
Questions like, what's our favorite book? Do we hang out in between seasons? What's the most technically challenging Ear Hustle episode ever?
Okay, Earlon, yeah, those are good questions, but like we said above, I'd like some wackier ones, actually.
We've also started doing episode commentary, where you and I listen to a classic Ear Hustle episode and talk about how it came together, hard decisions made along the way, and where the people in the episodes are now.
Yeah, we did that for Sellies, and it was a lot of fun, so we're definitely going to do more. And Earlon, tell them about that idea you're working on.
Sure. I've been sitting down with some of our formerly incarcerated friends who have gotten out and are doing well. Just basically showing how they went from one situation to a better situation, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Those will start dropping in the Ear Hustle Plus feed soon.
Listeners, we want you in this conversation. Find out more about Ear Hustle Plus at earhustlesq.com/plus or subscribe right now in the Apple Podcast Player app.
That's earhustlesq.com/plus or right in the Apple Podcast Player.
So, what is your favorite book, Earlon?
Sorry, Nige. You got to subscribe for that.
Really?
Yes.
Radiotopia.